We realize that James was writing to a world that was very similar to our world today. It was very difficult times, very difficult times. The Roman Empire was growing, increasing, and becoming intolerant of Christianity and anyone who resisted the powers of Rome, bringing down persecution and hardship upon the whole world, especially the Christian world. Because Israel was under the domination of the Roman Empire, they felt that persecution especially hard. Jesus Christ had been crucified, rose again from the dead, and was ascended back into heaven, and Christians were being literally hunted down and slaughtered. The church was the enemy of the Roman Empire as far as Israel was concerned, and so the Jews persecuted the Christians as well as did the Romans, in fact, much more so. And so James was writing a letter to believers who were living during a difficult time of suffering, hardship, famine, disease, drought, desperately seeking for peace in the world. Conditions very similar to what we live in today. A lot of you have seen some very difficult trials in your lives. Not just this year with the coronavirus and the political meltdown of our government and the economic meltdown of our society, but a lot of you have lived through some very difficult trials and times. Some of you folks have lived through the Great Depression. I remember my parents and grandparents talking a lot about the Great Depression, how difficult those days were, how they barely survived, how they got by, but only because of the Lord's mercy. But in my lifetime, I can't remember anything as discouraging and heartbreaking as the coronavirus has been. This pandemic has taken its toll physically on many people, emotionally with the death of many loved ones, and just emotionally and socially because of the change in our lifestyles that have had to take place and the limitations on what we have the freedoms to do. Our life has changed so much, and it's not been easy. James offers words of encouragement at the beginning of his letter, and we need encouragement today. During this pandemic that we live in, according to the CDC, as of last Wednesday, and I know these numbers are going up every day, but as of this past Wednesday, there was over 17, almost 18 million cases of coronavirus cases in the United States alone. Over 300,000 deaths. And at the present time, the death rate is climbing at the rate, in the United States, the death rate is climbing at the rate of over 1,700 people a day. It's serious. We live in serious times. We live in difficult times. We need the Lord. We need to be in favor with the Lord. We need to be on prayer ground with the Lord. We need to be able to approach Him boldly, knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that we are in fellowship with the Lord and not living in habitual sin or secret sin so that the Lord cannot bless. We need to be able to have that relationship with God where we enjoy the benefits and the blessings of the words of encouragement that James gives in the beginning of his letter when he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." When all these things come upon you, when the coronavirus is raging, when the government is just crumbling and falling to pieces, when the economy is teetering and so many people are hurting financially, businesses are closing down, people are losing their jobs, there's sickness, there's medical bills piling up, there's rent that can't be paid, there's utility bills that can't be paid. James says, count it all joy. Rejoice, in other words, rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because He is our help. He is our solution. He is the one who is a very present help in times of trouble. So count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. James 1, 2, and 3. And later on, In verse 12, he says, blessed. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. The crown of life. Keep your eyes on the future. Keep your eyes on the big picture, on the plan of God. This life is just the beginning of eternity. It's just a very short time, a shadow, a vapor, and then it's gone. It's very brief, but eternity goes on forever and ever, and the Lord has promised the crown of life to those that endure the trials. Blessed is the man. But in chapter 4, in spite of these beginning and opening words of encouragement, in spite of the good news that God is in control, our faith should be strong in Him, in chapter 4, the mood turns sorrowful. James again goes back to the subject that we live in difficult times. There are wars and fightings among you, he says, just as there are today. There are lusts at war in yourselves. You lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not. And then he says, you are adulterers and adulteresses. You want what you should not have. You want what you do not need. You lust after that which does not please God. You are adulterers and adulteresses, and your friendship with the world is enmity with God. That coincides to verses that come to my mind so frequently. John, in 1 John chapter 2, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but are of the world. He that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Very, very strong words, convicting words for those who are flaunting their desire for the things of the world. Adulterers and adulteresses, friends of the world, your friendship with the world is enmity with God. In the five verses that we read as our text this morning, James gives 10 commandments. 10 commandments against worldliness, warning us that we should, number one, submit ourselves to God. We should, number two, resist the devil. Number three, we should draw nigh to God. Number four, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Number five, purify your hearts. Number six, set your minds on God. Number seven, turn your laughter to mourning. In other words, don't take pleasure in sin and mock the righteousness that should be in you. Number eight, humble yourselves in God's sight. Number nine, do not speak evil one of another. And number 10, do not judge one another. Did you ever look at that before as the Ten Commandments of James? For the church, there they are, right there spelled out for us. And if we were to expound on those Ten Commandments this morning, we'd be here for a long, long time. And so it's not my intention to do that, but I want to give you something that will encourage your heart to go into the year 2021 prepared to draw closer to God, prepared to submit yourselves to God, to resist the devil, to draw nigh to God, to cleanse your hands from sin, and so on. These things will help you do that. These things will be the key factors in where you're going to be spiritually this time a year from now. That's a good thing to think about, isn't it? It's a good question to ask us. Where am I going to be in my relationship with the Lord next year if the Lord tarries? If I'm going to be on this earth next year, a year from now, am I going to be closer to the Lord in my walk than I am today? Am I going to be stronger as a Christian? Am I going to be a greater witness for the Lord Jesus? Am I going to be seeking His face continually? Or am I just going to be waiting for Him to return, just kind of abiding the time and doing my own thing and just life goes on as it has been. No changes. I want change in my life. I want to be challenged. I want the Lord to challenge me. And so as I've thought about this and prayed about this, the Lord says, what you've been knowing that you should have done every year, I want you to continue doing that. I want you to continue putting the focus on the basic patterns of growth in the spiritual life, in the Christian life, that should be present every day of your life. I want you to think about this. Every new year, my thoughts are on how am I going to start this new year in my relationship with the Lord? What am I going to do different? And every new year, I like to challenge myself and I like to challenge you along with me to do these three things. To pray every day, to spend more time in prayer, quality time in prayer, be a student of prayer. That's what we do here on Wednesday nights. We learn how to pray. We encourage one another in prayer methods that will improve our prayer life. I want you to read and study your Bible, not just read it. So many of us make a goal, oh, I just want to read through my Bible. I just want to get through it in a year. But how much of it do we really absorb? I mean, it's good to have a goal. It's good to have a goal to read through your Bible in a year if you're going to know what you read when you're finished. But if you're half asleep when you're reading it most of the time and you just read it for the sake of getting through it, is it doing you any good? I want you to think about this. Read and study your Bible this year. Discipline yourself to be a student of the Word of God. We're going to talk about that. And I want you to simply grow. Grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Peter is going to exhort us in a verse that we're going to look at today. And we're going to see that much of the book, much of the epistles of Peter are very similar to the epistle of James in his exhortation and challenge to believers to do those things that will submit to God and draw nigh to God and seek the face of God. So pray every day, read and study your Bible, grow in the Lord. There was a little song that we sang in Sunday school when I was growing up. And I think the words of it were very simple, and I don't think there was much more to the words of the song other than that. Just read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And so I want to look at that, but in a little different order today. I want to start with the study of your Bible, but I want to put the emphasis on pray every day, okay? Both of those things are so, so important, but study your Bible. Because, number one, blessings are in store for those who study their Bible. If you study your Bible diligently as a student of the Word of God, God will bless you. He will bless your life. He will bless your joy. You'll have a different outlook on your trials. You'll begin to see your trials in the light of God's Word, in His plan for your life, in His plan for redemption. Life will take on a richer, fuller understanding of the meaning and purpose of being here. Blessings are in store for those who study their Bible. First of all, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, there's a command that Paul gives us to study. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Does God approve of where you are spiritually today? Does God approve of how much Bible you know? How much information you've stored in your mind, how much Word of God you have hidden in your heart, does God approve? Study to show yourself approved unto God. God doesn't expect you to know everything. He doesn't expect you to be perfect in knowledge. He doesn't expect you to be a master of the Word of God necessarily, but He does want you to be learning continuously. He never wants you to stop learning, and you can study the Bible for a lifetime and still only understand the tip of the iceberg. Study your Bible. Study your Bible to show yourself approved, to be approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The blessing is, I don't have to be ashamed of my lack of understanding or lack of knowledge of the Bible, if I'm studying it. But if I'm not studying it, if I'm not hiding it in my heart, if I'm not a student of the Word every day, my knowledge and application of the Bible is going to be weak. I was thinking of the epitaph or the sign, the marquee down at Independent Bible Church. So often they have a sign like we do in our yard, and every so often they change the saying on that sign. And so often, I used to drive by there every day when we lived in Berkeley Springs, and so often their sign would have the saying, a week, W-E-E-K, without God's Word makes one weak, W-E-A-K. There's so much truth behind that. If you go a week or weeks or many weeks without studying God's Word, you're going to be weak spiritually. You're not going to have the resources necessary to defend the enemy. You're not going to have the resources necessary to witness effectively. And so you need to be studying your Bible. One of the blessings that are in store for you if you study God's Word diligently is that you will be unashamed. You will be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. God will give you knowledge, understanding, and the ability to apply what you're learning, what you know, and use the Word of God as your defense against Satan. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Blessing in store for those who study their Bible. Similarly, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, boy, this is a perfect verse for the day and age in which we live. Listen carefully. It says, blessed, there again, starting with that word, blessed, satisfied, fulfilled, equipped. The word blessed is broad in its meaning, and it's always rich and a good definition. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things. I want to stop right there. Do you keep the things that you are reading in your heart? Do you apply them? Do you use them? Do you observe to do as God told Joshua, you know, study, meditate in God's word day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's the same idea behind the idea of keeping those things in your heart which are written therein. And then John says, for the day is at hand. For the day is at hand. The Lord is coming soon. Amen. This church age is coming to a close. The world is getting ready to go into the tribulation period. The church is going to be raptured out very soon. The day is at hand. We need to be studying God's Word. There's a blessing in store for those who are studying God's Word right up to the last day. Right up to the last day, we need to be studying God's Word, for the time is at hand. And then you know I always think of Psalm chapter 1. You hear this many times from me. I love this psalm. When it comes to studying the Bible, again, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not listening to what the ungodly world is saying. I'm listening to what God is saying. You know, turn off the news and open your Bible. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. If you listen to the daily news and you listen to what the world is saying, they're not going to guide you in God's way. They're not going to instruct you to do what God wants you to do. They're going to be instructing you to do what they think man, what man thinks is right. And what does the Bible say? There is a way which seemeth right in the heart of a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death and destruction. So don't stand in the way of sinners, and don't sit in the seat of the scornful, those who mock the church, those who mock Christianity and say, that's old-fashioned, that's not for today. You know, that doesn't apply to us. That's not going to benefit you in any way. And there are scorners and scoffers in the world who mock Christianity and mock your faith and mock you and I as Christians and say we're a bunch of fools and we don't know what we're doing and we're believing a fairy tale and all this stuff. Don't do that. Blessed is the man who does not listen to them. But, here comes the good part, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what's going to happen? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow, blessings are in store for those who study their Bible. Be observant as you read your Bible. The next point, again, back to that verse I alluded to earlier in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where God says to Joshua, this book of the law, and all Joshua had was the Pentateuch, and maybe the book of Job at that time, but what he had, he says, don't let it depart out of thy mouth. In other words, be talking about it constantly to yourself, to the Lord, to others. Don't let it depart out of thy mouth, but meditate therein day and night. Meditate. Chew it over. Think it over. Ponder it. What does it say? What does it say to me? What does it mean? How do I see myself in this passage of Scripture? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Did you know that your daily Bible reading is not so that you can say, I read my Bible? Your daily Bible reading is so that you can know how to live in this ungodly world. That you can know how to respond to temptation when it comes. That you can know how to deal with disappointment and discouragement every day. So that you can know how to handle the trials that come your way and the temptations every day. That you may observe to do the right thing, to do what God would have you to do. You need to be studying your Bible. You need to be meditating in your Bible every day. Study, and to show thyself approved unto God. Meditate, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, here comes the good part, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You're going to do the right thing. How many times have you done the right thing this year? I have to admit, I haven't always done the right thing. I've heard news I haven't responded to the way I should have as a believer. I've faced trials that I probably didn't, not probably, probably about it. I've faced trials that I didn't handle correctly. I've been in counseling situations this year with some of you folks here, and I haven't told you what God would have had me tell you because I just wasn't meditating in God's Word like I should have been. Shame on me. But don't let it be shame on us. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's meditate on God's Word that we might observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Thou shalt have good success. Got a dear friend. I'm not doing this to embarrass you, Jeff. But I got a good friend sitting here. Jeff is a fine carpenter. He's one of the best I've ever seen. I would trust him to do anything. But Jeff didn't become a good carpenter by riding around in his truck all day with his tools in his truck. He gets them out every day and he puts them to use. And that's what we need to do with our Bible. We're not going to be good Christians by letting it sit on our shelf and collect dust every day. We need to get into the Word of God and study it and meditate on it so that we can become prosperous in what we do, so that we can have good success. Now, praise God, some of you folks sitting here today have already been thinking about this because you've told me you are. And you've told me, some of you have already told me, I plan to read through my Bible again this year. Praise the Lord. I congratulate you. That's good. I encourage you to do that. I usually do that as well. But this year I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to try to read through my Bible this year. I'm going to study through portions of it. intensely study and meditate on portions of it. Just what the Lord led me to do this year. I'm not going to have a goal to get from Genesis to Revelation. If I get through 5 books of the New Testament this year, I'll be happy. But when I get through those 5 books or 4 books or 3 or whatever turns out to be, I trust I will know those books much better than I do now. I trust that I'll be more equipped to handle the information in those books. I trust that I will see the face of Jesus Christ more clearly as I study those books. And I'd just like to encourage you to do that. I've shared this acronym with you before. I share it again. I put it on your outline. Something that I picked up as a teenager, being discipled by the Navigators, that helps me in my Bible study. I've been using it for over 40 years. The little acronym is CCAP. And it stands for these little phrases. As I'm looking at my Bible, as I open my Bible and say, God, every day, God, this is your word. I want to know not only what it says, but what does it say to me? How am I going to find out what it's saying to me? What God wants me to do with what I'm reading and studying and meditating on? Because every day as I do that, I'm going to, number one, the S in CCAP, I'm going to look for a sin in my life that I need to confess or avoid. Is the Word of God showing me somebody sinned, somebody fell into this transgression, somebody fell into this temptation? There's a sin there. I need to avoid that sin. Or maybe it's in my life or something similar. It reminds me of something that's in my life that shouldn't be. I need to confess that. Is there an example to follow? You know, God's Word gives us the good news as well as the bad, the failures as well as the successes of the people that it's talking about. And if there are situations where somebody has done that which is pleasing and right in the eyes of God, that's an example I need to follow. If there's an attitude that God reveals to me as I'm meditating on God's Word, an attitude that I need to change, to adjust, God's Word will show me. It'll point that out. It'll indicate that. Is there a command for me to obey? Is there, you know, the Bible, especially the New Testament, is full of commands. Sometimes we call them exhortations. An exhortation is nothing but a command given as a strong word of encouragement. James just gave us 10 commands there in those 5 verses that we read this morning. Those are strong exhortations that we should follow. Is there an action to perform? Did somebody do something? Did somebody help somebody, show love to somebody, encourage somebody, witness to somebody the way they should have? That's an action I need to perform. And is there a promise to claim? You know, not all of life is encouraging, and there are trials and tribulations as we go through this life, and we need to be encouraged. So look for the promises that God has made. Look for the promises that God has made as you read and study your Bible. Hopefully that'll help someone. I've used it, like I said, for over 40 years, and it really helps me in my Bible study. Bring your heart to the Word for daily cleansing. Bring your heart to the Word for daily cleansing. That's my next point. The Word of God, it was explained to me again many years ago, that our brain is like a colander. You know what a colander is. You ladies use your colanders in your kitchen, where you put stuff in that colander so that the stuff you don't want to keep drains through. The other day I was getting the potatoes ready to mash for the Christmas dinner, and I put them in a colander, and after I peeled them and sliced them and ran water through them and stirred them all up, and that, guess what that water did? It washed all the dirt off those potatoes. And then I had nice shiny white potatoes that I felt comfortable eating. God's Word is the water. God's Word is the water. Our brain is the colander. And our brain gets all full of all kinds of worldly junk as we go through the day and see things that we shouldn't see and read things we shouldn't read and think thoughts that we shouldn't think. And so you need to be pouring the water of God's Word through that brain every single day. Why? Because you need to wash the stuff out that shouldn't be there. And so Paul says, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is sanctifying the church, and he is cleansing it, he's washing it, with the washing of the water by the Word. Ephesians 5:26. And that's what Bible study will do for you. It will wash your mind with the Word of God. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I encourage folks, and I've done this for years myself, keep a journal. Keep a journal. Record the things that God is teaching you. The things that impress you. You read something in God's Word. I never knew God's Word said that. Or I see something in the Word today that I never saw before or never understood that way before. Write it down. Keep a journal. Whether you do that with a pen and a tablet or you do that on your laptop or your tablet electronically, keep a journal. Keep your journal close at hand when you're studying God's Word and write things down. What is God teaching you? Write it down. And the more you put your Bible study, the more you put into your Bible study, the more you're going to get out of it. The more you're going to get out of it. What was that saying, the preacher that we grew up with? He had a saying that he always used. Get all you can all you get. And what do you do with it then? Get all you can all you get. But anyway, get all you can out of your Bible study, okay? And keep it. Keep it in your heart. Be prepared to receive a rich blessing. Have the attitude of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation day and night. Or all the day. He loved to meditate in God's Word. Psalm 19, verse 10, more to be desired are they, the words of God, than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And finally, the more you feast on the Word of God, the more you will desire it. The more you will desire it. The more you feast on God's Word, you'll have a greater desire to spend more and more time in it every day. Secondly, and this sometimes is neglected, I too often have been guilty of doing my Bible reading, faithfully reading, and sometimes studying the Word of God, but not near enough time praying. I think prayer is one of the most neglected disciplines in most Christian lives. Intense, fervent, effectual prayer. Pray every day. Pray, Paul said, without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. What did Jesus say? He says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint means to grow weary. To get tired. Do you ever get tired in your Christian walk? Do you ever get tired of just trying to discipline yourself to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to be thinking the right kind of thoughts? Are you praying? Are you spending quality time in prayer? Because you're going to grow weary, you're going to faint, you're going to give up, you're going to become discouraged if you're not praying the way you should be. So, number two, prioritize your quiet time. Make it a priority to pray. Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, But thou, when thou prayest, I like that phrase, when thou prayest, not if you pray. He's assuming that believers are going to be praying. So when you pray, enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Do you ever wonder why I don't see very many blessings from God? I don't see God answering very many prayers. I don't see God doing amazing things. Where are the blessings? How much time are you spending in prayer? Is that time you're spending in prayer quality time? Are you really communicating with the Lord? Have you really opened your heart and confessed your sins and asked God to cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Are you in a right relationship with God? Does your prayer time exceed the quality that it did a year ago? Prioritize your daily quiet time. Jesus set the example, Matthew 14:23. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain alone to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. I don't think it's saying that Jesus did that one time. I think it's saying there that this was a habitual thing that he did on a daily basis. He spent time with his Father on a regular basis. Dr. David Jeremiah says the daily exercise of intimate communication with God is so vital. Those who aren't accustomed to praying on a regular basis, when faced with a crisis, will feel out of touch with God and unable to reach him when prayer is most needed. If you're not accustomed to praying as you should, not spending quality time in prayer, when you really need to pray, you're going to find it very difficult to pray. And then finally, pray with fasting. We talked about this earlier during announcements. Fasting should be a part of our prayer life, at least periodically, occasionally, in times of great testing and trial, in times of great need, in times of when you're just feeling distance between you and God and your spiritual life doesn't seem as warm as it should be, and you don't feel that connection with God, try fasting. Try fasting. Again, Jesus says, but when thou fastest, he's assuming that the disciples are going to be fasting. So when you do it, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's why I believe fasting should be a very personal thing between you and God. We talked earlier about having an accountability partner or an encouragement partner, and that's okay. I encourage you to do that, but I do not encourage you to come to church and tell everybody, boy, I've been fasting this week and everything's been going so well and God's been showing me such amazing things. I think that's exactly what Matthew 6:17 and 18 says not to do. It should be personal between you and God. And what God is doing in your life as a result of that should be between you and him, and he is going to reward you for doing that. James chapter 4, coming back to James chapter 4 again, verses 8 and 10. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Fasting is for that purpose. Fasting is to be drawing nigh to God. Spending time, extra time, special time with him. Intense and personal time with the Lord. Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. As you pray and spend time with the Lord and you fast and pray, God's going to reveal sin in your life that you didn't even know was there. And he is, by his Holy Spirit, he's going to be convicting you and prompting you to confess that sin and to get that sin, to let him take that sin and get it out of your life. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and he shall lift you up. Many Christians who have experienced fasting say that fasting makes me more sensitive to God's voice. as you pray and fast, you'll start to see things in God's Word that are more applicable to you, that speak to your heart. New things that you didn't see before and things that you had forgotten. God will begin to make His Word light up and demonstrate His power, the power of His Word in your life. Fasting makes us realize how much we need God. How much we need God. We need God as much as we need food, our daily food. Fasting is a way to demonstrate that we are serious about our desire to draw near to God. You know, I can casually say, Lord, I just want to draw closer to You this year. And so casually, and it means nothing. It means nothing. But if God sees me sacrificing things that are a sacrifice, that are hard for me to give up, things that I would rather not give up, and the reason that I'm sacrificing those things is because I am serious, Lord, about drawing near to You. I'm serious about wanting to see Your face, to connect with You through Your Word, to hear Your voice speak to me. I need You, Lord. I need You. Fasting demonstrates Your sincerity in that. So we need to study our Bible, pray every day, and finally, you will grow. Okay? Growth is essential in these last days, especially. Growth is critical. Growth is necessary in order to maintain a life of godliness in this ungodly world. Growth in the Christian life will ensure that I am steps ahead of where I am in my relationship with the Lord today, this time next year, or next week, or next month. Growth. In Peter's second epistle, he warned the believers, again, just like James did, that in the last days, the days that we're living in right now, would certainly be included in that. In the last days, there's going to be much trouble, a lot of trouble. Let me just give you a few of the things that Peter says in his second epistle, chapter 2. He warns in verse 1 of false prophets and false teachers who would seek to take advantage of believers and bring in damnable heresies. We have seen the church plagued with false teaching in the last decade. We have had to battle all kinds of false teaching. We have had to battle, well, I'm not even going to get into examples, One of the things that we have battled is this idea of contemporary music and how it has destroyed so many churches. And how Brother Ken, I think it was saying in Sunday school that so many churches fall for this idea that you have to entertain the people. It has to be appealing to their ears and their emotions and their eyes, and they have to feel it. And so they use ungodly music to reach and entertain the people. It's not of God. It's not of God. False prophets and false teachers. Verses 9 and 10, Peter warns of the coming day of judgment and says that there will be many temptations. Have you been faced with temptations and trials this year? There will be people walking after lusts of uncleanness. The world is full of lust. People would despise, listen to this, Peter says in the last days, people will despise government. Have we been guilty of saying some pretty nasty things about our government recently? People will despise government. And they will speak evil of dignitaries or dignities. Everybody's speaking evil of dignities nowadays. Verse 13 is interesting. He says, people will count it a pleasure to riot in the daytime. I thought about that. What does he mean? They'll find pleasure in rioting in the daytime. Usually you think of rioting in the evening and the night hours. They go out on the streets and they burn buildings and they destroy police cars and kill people. But what have we seen on the news recently? It's 24 hours a day. It's nonstop. I think that's what Peter's saying. In the last days, the rioting will be nonstop. It'll be going on day and night. He says in verse 14, their eyes will be full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin. I believe a lot of Christians are struggling with besetting sins that they're not getting victory over. They cannot cease from sin. It's not that they don't want to have victory over this. It's not that they don't want to be righteous and live for God and do what's right. But I just can't stop. How many times I've heard that in my office, Pastor, I know this is a sin, but I just can't give it up. Can't get victory over it. We're living in the last days, folks. Men will become servants of corruption. Servants of corruption. They'll be entangled in the pollutions of the world. Verse 20. In chapter 3, scoffers will come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Again, scoffing and making a mockery of Christianity. You say you have this Jesus. He's going to come and deliver you out of this present evil world. Okay, where is he? You've been saying that for 2,000 years. You're foolish to believe that that's actually going to happen. Scoffers. Scorners. He says in verse 5, people will be willfully ignorant of the word of God. Or dumb on purpose. And they are totally ignorant of the impending judgment. Verse 7. But when Peter's final words to the faithful believers comes, here's what he says. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And then in the final words of his epistle, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Grow. Growth should be the never-ending goal of every believer. I never stop growing. As long as we spend here on the face of this earth, we should be growing in Christ-likeness, growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, growing in our ability to handle the Word of God, growing in the effectiveness of our prayer life, growing. Psalm chapter 92, verse 12 says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Do you ever see those pictures of those cedars of Lebanon? They're almost like the California redwoods. They are gigantic trees. The righteous shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Paul's desire for the believers is expressed in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 15, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We need to grow up as believers. How do we do that? Study the Word every day. Pray every day. And grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is praying for the Colossian believers. And he says in that prayer that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Another way of saying growing is increasing in the knowledge of God. And then we know that growth will take place as we study the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So there's a sin to be avoided. That sin would be neglecting to study God's word, neglecting to meditate on God's word, not spending enough time in prayer. A command to obey would be to desire to do that, to desire the sincere milk of the word, to desire to get into God's word. I can't wait for quiet time today. I can't wait to get into God's word and study and meditate and read and see what God has for in store for me today. A command to obey, desire the sincere milk of the word. A promise to claim is to take time studying God's word, and you will grow. You will grow. You will become prosperous. You will have good success. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Promises. Blessed is the man that readeth the prophecy of this book in the last days. Father, we praise you for this day and ask that every person here is thinking about, how am I going to grow in 2021? And know that the answer is to spend time in prayer, seeking God, learning about Him, spending time with Him, finding out what His Word says, studying and meditating on God's Word, seeking to grow, striving to know Jesus Christ, to know more about Him, to have a greater knowledge of His grace and truth. And Lord, I pray that every person here has that desire to do those things because they are the children of God. They have been born again. They are adopted into your family. We are looking forward to your return. We know we're going to spend eternity with you. But Father, if there is someone here today who does not have that relationship with you, and they're saying, I really don't care whether I'm going to study God's word next year or not. I don't really plan to spend a lot of time in prayer, or more time in prayer than I have before. And that's because I really just don't have a relationship with God. I don't have the knowledge of God in my heart. I don't know where He is in my relationship with Him. I don't believe I'm saved. I don't believe I'm ready to go to heaven. If that's you today, if you're here today and you're saying, I'm not looking forward to this coming year. It's probably going to be just as bad, just as challenging, just as difficult as this past year was. It doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be. It can be a joy to walk with the Lord in these closing days of time. It can be a joy to seek His face and find Him faithful to you every day. Come to Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Confess your sins to Him. Lord, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I need to be delivered from my sin. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Dear God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to spend eternity separated from you in a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I want to be in heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to spend time with the saints around the throne, rejoicing and glorifying God and having a great time and being with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. I want to be saved. Trust Him today. Put your trust in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe that He died for you on the cross. He took your place. He bore your sins on Calvary's cross. He paid the penalty for your sins. He satisfied the righteous demands of a just God and used His blood to purchase you out of the slavery of sin. Believe Him. Trust Him today. Call upon Him. Father, as people are making decisions right now during this time of invitation, I'm asking you to do what only God can do. I can preach a message by your grace and help and strength, but only the Holy Spirit can really speak to hearts. And I'm praying you'll do that right now. In Jesus' name, amen.